Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The VC Show is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, but you must be 21 or older.
The VC Show, let's go, doing the part with Roz. We got the sports on deck for our audience. Whether it's big news, hot topics, updates, straight facts, storytelling, breakdowns, or special guests. VC Show, let's go, it's time to turn it out. The VC
Show, let's go. Good people, welcome to the VC Show, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm Vince Carter, and you know who's back? Yeah, she's back. The finals are here, and Roz gets a quick break, not a little break, you get a quick break, and headed back on the road. But we wanted to catch up with you, Roz. How are you? Welcome back. How was your experience in the Eastern Conference Finals? I've been seeing you in the background. I've seen you walking by the screen, working hard. Like, hey, man, thanks for joining us. Thanks for having some time for us. I understand you're a busy lady, but hey, welcome back.
I'm about to open up right after the finals so we can have, you know, a wax poetic on all things off season on the VC Show. But yeah, it's a busy time. I was out there covering it for ESPN. I've been doing all the post game interviews for SportsCenter and doing the radio call for all the games with Doris Burke. And it was Dave Pasch on the call as well. And it was fantastic. You know, I thought we would be off and quick and maybe have a week before the finals. I was thinking about, okay, I'm going to do this. Nope. We took it in dramatic fashion to game seven. And the only thing I would say was like the game seven was so exciting. Finally, we got there. Perhaps we were going to see history. The atmosphere was electric. And to have... It turned out that way where, you know, it was a great performance for the Heat, but the Celtics, they just really were
ran out of gas. That's what I thought.
Best version of themselves.
Yeah.
And so it was a little bit anticlimactic in that way, but and somewhat embarrassing for the Celtics and how that loss went down, but an incredible series nonetheless. So just right now, literally just landed from Boston this morning in LA. I'm doing a million appointments. I'm repacking. I got laundry going. And then I'm on another flight to Denver because media day is tomorrow in Denver for the finals. And it just is nonstop. I can only imagine what it's like for the players and the coaches on the Heat having to make this turnaround.
Just think real quick, immediately. I mean, yes, we won. Yes, finals, whatever. They're already breaking down film, getting ready for the guys to look at, figuring out a game plan. you know, when you're the Denver Nuggets, you have time to sit back and you kind of game plan for both teams trying to figure it out. Because for me watching, it was kind of like everywhere I go, people are like, what do you think? Who do you think wins this? And I honestly, Roz, didn't know what to tell him. I was like, I don't know. I don't know. Because it's like, you know, all these historic facts and numbers you can throw at people about, you know, Boston being great when their back's against the wall. They've proven it, but not good at home. And, you know, the Miami Heat being good at home. And then all of a sudden, not playing well at home, on the road, excuse me, not at home, playing well on the road and dropping that game and not playing well. And then you get to game seven. It's like, I don't know. I wanted to see a good game. I think it was just like interesting early, but it was like wowing immediately. Jason Tatum goes down because it's, you know, and it's like always the what could have been, what could have been if, what would it look like if Jason was 100%? Because he still, you know, was giving it what he had. I mean, he still was outrunning guys, getting layups, but you can see it wasn't, like I said, I've always said this about me dunking the basketball. It's not going up, it's coming down. And you saw every time the time he dunked the ball, you can tell he was thinking hard about that landing. And I was like, man, I feel you, brother. I feel you. So, but me, Roz, I'm good, man. I've been, you know, working a little bit, you know, doing some studio stuff and just staying busy. You know, you got kids and I got one graduating soon. It's like, on to the next chapter. You know, it's just work, work, work. So I'm ready to talk about the finals and see what comes about this, because I think this has been a great playoffs. I don't know how you see it, but I think the playoffs have been fantastic. And I think as much as any person, analyst, reporter, whoever comes into this playoffs like, oh, such and such is going to win. Oh, this team looks like the team is going to, you're not sure. And very few people, I think you can agree with this, didn't give Denver their props until we watched them and we're like, nah,
right?
They deserve it. So I like the like the playoff being so unpredictable. You're not sure. It wasn't a clear cut. Oh, this team's going to go. Like, you know, years past, where were we for the finals all the time? You were either in Cleveland when LeBron was there, or you were either in Golden State, you know, whatever, because you kind of had an idea of where you're going to go. Now you had no idea, which I think made it fun.
So before we even get to the finals, like, let's take a quick moment to digest what just happened during, you know, Game 7 and the Eastern Conference Finals. What does the result of Game 7 and how it went down, what does it say to you about the Celtics and their future?
It says to me that the Celtics have a lot of questions that need to be answered. You know, the frustrating thing for me, and this is probably the player side, is to see, and it's happened with a lot of coaches, is to see a guy like Coach Joe Mazzulla, who had great success in regular season, and he's still obviously, you know, learning the difference between regular season and the playoffs. And he was on death row first three games. And then all of a sudden he gets his team in position. And then you can turn on the TV because of their loss in game seven. You turn on the TV and it's still like, oh, should Mazzulla be there? Well, which one is it? Do you dislike him or do you like him? You like the coach when he's winning.
Do you think that Mazzulla should?
I think every coach, like Phil Jackson, I mean, Nick Nurse is a guy who, okay, he won it his rookie year. Got it. I got it. And then, you know, everybody can question how all that came about. I don't care. He still got the job done. He still had to coach his team to a win. I just feel like every coach is going to go through tough times. Every coach has to go through these experiences to gain the knowledge and experience, you know, moving forward. I guarantee Joe Mazzulla next year will be an even better coach because he understands the moment. Just like players go through the playoffs the first time. It's the first time, but you know, just like guys go through their second year. Roz, your freshman year of college, it was an eye opener and you adjusted, but your sophomore year, you're like, bro, I already know what to expect. I know how this works. And that's kind of the same thing. Now that you go through it, like I remember my first time, my first playoffs was against the Knicks and Jeff Van Gundy. And they threw double teams after double teams, sometimes triple teams at me. And it was just like, man, what is going on? Like, this not what the regular season was about, but it's just a progression. Like, you learn that preseason is not like regular season. You learn regular season is definitely not like the playoffs. And, you know, and it just gets tougher and tougher as you go. Like the finals, Shelby, I didn't get the chance to play in the finals, but, you know, I have a pretty good understanding of what it feels like and what it takes. And I feel like Joe Mazzulla and his team will be better because now you have that same voice coming back into your locker room again, and he can learn from his mistakes. It's not like you have to go and learn a new offense once again, a la the 76ers, who will be learning a new offense again. You know, so it's just a lot of factors to this. And you know, I think you keep this guy in place, Joe Mazzulla. I think you got to figure out what you're going to do with Jaylen Brown. That is now the key to all this.
Did they max out Jaylen Brown? What do you think about Jaylen? It was obviously a tough performance in Game 7, which, you know, to his credit, absolutely manned up, raised his hand and owned.
Sure did. He sure did. I think up until to this, he was the best player. I think he was able to guide this Celtics team and Jason Tatum, who was playing, you know, okay up and down in the Sixers series. And prior to, he was, Jaylen Brown I'm talking about, was outstanding, playing great basketball. So I think they can complement each other. A lot of people, you know, heard today, like, they don't look like they play for each other. I think that's just kind of the way their offense is structured right now. A little more ball movement, playing for and off of each other, I think would be great for them. At the end of the day, we can want what we want. It's kind of what he is feeling because he's in the driver's seat. What he can make, it's insane. Insane. I personally would like to see them together. You know, you make your adjustments to your team, but you know,
my thoughts on Jaylen, you, especially when you think about the regular season, just put that in a bottle. I mean, he had an all-star season. He was incredible. You know, he needs to cut down his mistakes and his turnovers, and that's probably
decision-making.
Yeah. His decision-making is a weak spot, in his game. And it's not to say that something that should define his entire career. I think with the right guidance and the right discipline and focus from him and putting him in the right situations, you know, that's something that he can improve. And, you know, you surround, you know, with capable players and sets where, you know, that doesn't get as amplified as it did. And I think, you know, in general, when I look at this Celtics team, I'm not willing to say that their star players are not big time guys in the big time moments. They've all had huge moments when the lights were bright and when it was pressure. So it's been mixed bag. They haven't been all, you know, they haven't all messed those moments up, and they haven't all shined at the brightest. So, like, how do you bring those players to a position where more with higher efficiency, showing up as the best version of themselves in the most high pressure situations? And I think that there's a component of that comes to coaching, the ability to, okay, you recognize that your team somehow is like losing hold or grip of the game, of the situation. How do you stop the bleeding? I also think too, like, unlike the Heat, like the Celtics did, there were moments throughout in watching them through this series where, and through the playoffs, where you could feel the boldness slipping away from them. You could almost see the air deflating out of them. And you kind of had this moment of, well, here we go. Even Game 6, you know, Derek White came there and bailed him out with some, like, you know, crazy putback. But before that shot, it was the Heat who were looking really comfortable. Down the stretch, and all of a sudden, here go to turnovers, here go to mistakes. And there's just this, there was like an unsureness that I think permeates a team. And that's not who I actually think these players are. And I don't know when that became part of their fabric and their DNA, but it's been part of who they've been this season. Because I don't want to make it about coaches. I think the great ingredients to a coach being successful first is with continuity. Like, you can't give somebody a 1-year look, and then if that's it, you say, and then have the audacity to say you gave them a fair shot. You've got to give them the chance. That's why choosing your coach is important, because you're making at minimum a two-year commitment. If you really serious, 3. And I think that Joe Mazzulla is fantastic. He has obviously a lot to learn of course, he's a first-year head coach, and there were moments that were clearly exposed that has been widely and loudly talked about, you know, during this series, especially going up against Spo, who is one of the great coaches of all time. But one thing I would say is that Coach Joe Mazzulla was put in a very tough position to begin with. You know, you come in and they replace somebody who already took them to the finals. They replace somebody in the midst of controversy and scandal. You're thrown into a team as a first-time head coach with major expectations, major spotlight on them. And, like, you've got to handle all of that. And I also think that they didn't have to make him the head coach midway through the season. They could have kept the interim tag, allowed him to get through the season, and it would have made where we are right now a lot less hot. Right now, it's hot because you've committed to him, and it put extra heat on everybody, the players, Joe, the organization, Brad Stevens. And so I think maybe that's where it put a magnifying glass on Joe in a way that maybe he could have avoided. But now this is what they've dug. This is where they're at. And now you've got to ask yourself, like, what get shaken up at this point, because there's still a lot about the Celtics that is elite and just, I feel like, just needs the right fine tuning. Or before I hear people saying blow the whole thing up, I'm like, dang, but when they look good, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing. And they look good. They look good all season and moments leading up to, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals. So it's just like tweaking. And I think both of those guys will get better. And I, you know, we've seen Jaylen Brown, he's gotten better since what happened to them last year. You know, felt like they missed an opportunity. He's gotten better. I just think it's decision-making, and you just get guys and you get some veterans in the ear, you know, just to kind of coach them through that. And they're going to learn from these moments. You can see the hurt, even though he manned up. You can see the hurt in him because he's like, I failed. I let my team down. And I have no problem with it. Of him stepping up, because it was a huge opportunity for him, and I think they'll learn. I mean, you said one thing about it. It's like now you have to have an offense, a winning offense, where it's kind of like, yeah, we're up now. How do we protect the ball? We want to make sure we get a shot. You have your pet plays where it's kind of downhill, doesn't allow you to shoot shots, because after a while, like you said, in game six, they were either throwing the ball all over the court or just taking bad shots, and that's kind of what it was. And that last shot, I just want to say about that, it was an unfortunate play, but it's what Derek White did was a counter to what probably every coach is going to tell the guy on the ball to do. You know, usually the best player is coming up top to get the ball for more space. You very rarely want to run a play, last second play in corners where it's tight quarters in case of double team. At least they took it away to making sure Jason Tatum didn't get the ball. At the end of the day, you say, if Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown didn't get the ball, we lose to somebody else, because you have to pick someone, okay? And the guy I think they would say got the ball who took the shot was Marcus Smart. You say, we'll live with that long as we didn't lose to their superstars, okay? Now, while you have Max Strus extending himself like he did, doing what he's supposed to do, Derek White did. That's the counter to it. You cut to the basket because easily, if you look at it, Marcus Smart could have easily thrown the ball right back to Derek White for an open jump shot, because Max Strus had extended himself, denying, you know, so far. So running to the basket, he has a free shot at offensive rebound. The only person I thought, in my opinion, that could have, if you go back and look at it, could have possibly done something about it is Bam. And I say Bam because he's the best rebounder. He's your big man. You want him going to the rim, because all they had to do was knock the ball out of bounds or knock it in the air, or knock it back, or just tip the ball away. The game's over. And it is a natural reaction. A couple of players, I've seen a couple of NBA players since then around here, and I asked him about it. He's like, yeah, we're taught, you know, when a shot goes up, find a body. You hear that from coaches, find a body. But sometimes in the big moment, particularly a last-second shot, that's when coaches tell guys to crash the boards, because our natural reaction is to watch the shot. That's just how it goes. And it was unfortunate.
Yeah. And even just the inability to consistently defend when yeah. they're capable of it.
Yeah.
The inability to knock down a three and then to hunt the right shots once the three ball isn't going down. And that becomes a careful dance too. And I think on part, that's partly the coach's job. It also where is the poise of this team that is extremely veteran? They're young in age. Don't forget, they've been, at this Eastern Conference Finals a lot, but they're still sub 27, all of them. But they're experienced. So what's disappointing is the lack of poise when things got rough, the lack of discipline in shot selection, and the lack of execution to not execute what they're capable of, especially on the defensive end, which we often say as players, and you say, that's one thing I can control is my defensive effort, intensity, and habits. So for those reasons, that is perplexing and disappointing. And then to go and force a game seven, you got the whole crowd, let me tell you, it was cracking. Upon being in TD Garden, I was starting to recognize something really special was happening here, because we're about 20 minutes out of the game and I'm looking around, the whole place is filled. And normally the arenas aren't filled like that, but it's filled. Not only is it filled, everybody's standing. Nobody's sitting. Everybody's standing. So I already immediately recognized that. We're now about 12 minutes out when I recognized that. I recognized something was different was going on. Then they were playing anything. Clips of Derek White's last shot, or Jason Tatum in the back stretching, or an old Celtic alum. Crowd was going wild, cheering for anything. We still 12 minutes out from the game. And I was like, oh man, it's about to be crazy.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire.
21 and over, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with the Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through the Horseshoe Bossier City and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
Okay, let's take it to the other side for the Heat, because they're the ones that advanced and they're heading to the finals against the Nuggets. And I'm about to get your thoughts on the Heat and the Nuggets. What was most impressive about the run that the Heat have been making from the 8-seed play-in to now the NBA finals?
Their poise and their confidence and they're rallying with each other, whether it's on the road or at home. I think about that loss to the Hawks in the play-in tournament where they didn't look good at all. And I was like, uh-oh, what? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they go on their run. They start making noise. Then it's like, okay, they're here. Then, what they did to the Milwaukee Bucks, who at that time I thought was the best team and playing the best basketball. Jimmy Butler, man, the way he goes about his business is rather interesting. Because you don't see this type, this Jimmy Butler all season long. But as it leads, it gets closer to the closer to playoff time, he turns into a different player. Mm. It's a good thing. It's a cool thing to see. And it's pretty, it's great for their team at the end of the day, because I said this because of listening to Gabe Vincent when he was sitting at the table with Shaq and those guys. And he said, Jimmy Butler, and obviously he said the superstars and the coaching staff has empowered me to play my game, and I don't feel hesitant about anything I do. And I said, and people are like, oh man, yeah, giving them that power in the play in the playoffs. Yeah, no, that started in the regular season. Jimmy is Jimmy on special occasions and nights, but all year long, those guys are playing those minutes and feeling comfortable, and Jimmy making plays for them all year long. You know, not putting up the big numbers like we're seeing in the playoffs, but at the same time, allowing them to be themselves. Kyle Lowry going down injured, coming back healthy, can get his starting job back, and he says, no, Gabe, you go ahead. He's done great for this team. Let him. I'll come off and man the second unit. All of these things are just little nuggets, little gems that you that build up and you cash in come playoff time. And you're getting this, and you're getting this performance. Caleb Martin, these guys were going and playing with zero hesitation. I thought they were in trouble with Tyler Hero going down. Like, where are they going to get the scoring from? Joke's on me. Joke's on us.
Was Caleb Martin the Finals MVP? Your Eastern Conference Finals MVP? Because he was looking first team all NBA.
He was looking first team, yes, all NBA.
Oh, Sam, he was getting it done.
And he was extremely consistent. I thought he was the savior.
Conference Finals MVP.
Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
Still Jimmy Butler. It's still with Jimmy Butler. But it was kind of like, should it be Caleb? Like, it was like, and he played that well. And I felt like, but Jimmy Butler has been fantastic. I thought he was the second best player. Well, at one point, I thought he was the second or third best player at one point when Phoenix with Booker.
Mm-hmm. Devin Booker was great in the playoffs. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I felt Jokic, Booker, and Jimmy.
Yeah.
And then once, obviously, Phoenix, it was like Jokic and Jimmy for sure. Mm-hmm. And I thought Jimmy was fantastic.
That first round against the Bucks was the best player in the playoffs.
Playoffs. These are facts.
Right.
And I just thought, like, you know, but there again, I felt Jimmy empowered these guys and allowed them to still play that way. And after a while, Caleb Martin's like, he's a young guy, but at the same time, and he doesn't have that much experience, but at the same time, he's like, Jimmy needs somebody. Jimmy and Bam need some. And like, it was like, I'm sure everybody, if you ask anybody, they were like, bro, it could, Jimmy, but it could have been Caleb Martin. Like, he played at that level, and yes, he's going to get paid. Yes, he's going to get paid. Yeah, he's earned it. And
so
I'm interested to see.
Yeah, man.
Crazy. And I'm interested to see how things work out. Here's my thing. Anytime you have your set squad and potentially another player comes back. Yes, Tyler Hero, you know, could possibly come back. How do you use and utilize him with the momentum and what's going on? I feel like Tyler has sat back and had seen the success and feel like, hey, I'll come off the bench and play my limited minutes. But we've seen teams.
If he's ready, how would you use him?
I will use him sparingly early. First of all, let him get his legs and his feet back wet to this league and the speed. And then we'll just see how it progresses. If he's playing well, he's in the rotation. But I'm not throwing him back into my starting unit immediately unless we have to make adjustments. Let's make an adjustment where we throw something different out there, then maybe. But I'm not messing up what's working.
Affected by this? Does, you know, like, I feel like he was a beneficiary of Tyler going down.
Yes, but I think that he's earned the right to play in the rotation. He was huge for them you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals, where that is a weapon of yours. And if you notice, they used the zone to protect him. Mm-hmm. You know, they play zone. And at times when they played man, there were sometimes he got beat, like straight line drives. Cool. That's what it is. But yeah. Coach Spo did a great job of kind of mixing the zone you know it's coming. That's cool, Boston. You know it's coming. But can you stop it? And they couldn't. They could. Right. Can you beat it? Can you beat it? They couldn't beat it.
And it really slowed Boston down, the use of the zone.
Because they couldn't play their one-on-one ISO ball. They had to kind of move the ball to get into the paint, or force your way into it. And they were turning it over, and they were just getting open threes. Like Kyle, they got the 1-3 where Kyle Lowry's on the transition. He had Caleb Martin ahead. You probably remember this play. And Duncan Robinson trail. He stops. He looks at Duncan Robinson and throws it to Caleb Martin wide open in the corner. That's off a turnover out of the zone. You know, it's just like.
Yeah, right. The turnovers out of the zone, especially, were really opportunistic for the Heat. But there were points where Caleb Martin, I mean, you talk about open shots. Caleb was defended. He was hounded. Yeah. He was hitting step back, fadeaway, Jordan-esque mid-range jumpers. Literally, I sit next to the PR of each team, like, right around the second row or middle of the court, and we were just looking at each other, just having a good giggle, like, what? Like, this is starting to get crazy. Like,
confidence is a mug, man.
In a positive way, like, bro, you should run for president right now. Like,
yeah, confidence is a mug, man, and that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a confident Caleb Martin. You're seeing a confident Duncan Robinson. It's like this dude didn't play. He was out of the rotation. And to be professional and to be.
Talk about real quick, because this is from Mark Spears. There was a tweet put out. He went undrafted. This is Caleb Martin, undrafted in 2019. Was with the Hornets, was waived by the Hornets in 2021. J. Cole, nice story. You know, ended up training out at J. Cole's gym in North Carolina. And J. Cole calls Caron Butler and was like, hey, there's, you know, my guy, Caleb's really good at ball. So then he signs a two-way contract with the Heat. Mind you, last season in Game 7, he had a DNP playing in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics. So he didn't even play. He didn't even see the court. This year, he could have been the Eastern Conference Finals MVP Game 7. So 2022 in July, he gets a three-year, $20 million contract, and then he becomes a hero in the playoffs. You know what, friends? There were a lot of great stories in this Eastern Conference Finals. You just you be a star in your role. You stay ready.
Listen to that, Ross. He's 3 years, $20 million. They got this man playing like this on a discount.
Discounted. You know, sometimes I see contracts for teams that have won a championship or whatever, and I'm like, that's old money at this point. Like, you know, people will look at the number because we're still not getting used to what these new contracts are going to look like. And you're like, that's so much. This is what they owe them. Like, he's made that money and then some already in his role
in
the finals.
I don't care how the results.
Gabe will get paid, all these guys.
That's what I'm about to say. I hope, regardless of the result, the ending result of this playoffs, whether Miami wins it or loses it, I hope the organization, Miami Heat, goes back to the table and they redo Caleb's contract.
Yeah, and I think, you know,
he earned that, man.
And he also, like a lot of these guys, like Gabe Vincent, you know, like Caleb, committed to the culture of the Heat. And I'll tell a story. I told this earlier. We talked about the unsureness in the Celtics, and I look at them and I'm like, why? You know, given all that they have the potential to be, why aren't they able to stand up to that and be that when it matters? Mm-hmm. Then I look at the Heat and I'm like, well, why are so many of these role players having out of body experiences and looking like, you know, first team all NBA guys out there? And I think it really starts organizationally from the top. And I think it starts, you know, I think Jimmy's confidence is big. I think Spo and the way that he not only like, obviously is a great X's and O's coach and can adjust on the fly. I did a report. Caron Butler was telling me, like, what makes Spo different is that he can adjust on the snap, on the spot. He doesn't need to go at halftime. And then
he's willing to do it. That's why. There's a lot of coaches I play for that's not willing to do that.
or can't even recognize it. They'd need a night, you know, to watch film or to wait till halftime, but he's doing instantaneously. But even beyond that, Doris Burke and I were talking about it because before every game, we get to talk with the coaches right before the broadcast. So we're talking with Spo, and his way of humanizing the game and recognizing your just concerns, what might actually be going through your head and heart as a player, as a human being, and then putting it to word and then putting it to something that you can hold onto and like channel within the game is crazy. I'm going to tell you what he said. I am paraphrasing, so it will not be as eloquent as his, but you'll feel it. Like, he literally was talking to us after the Heat. Derek White hits that shot. They lose three in a row. They're heading to Boston for a game seven. And how does the team emotionally rebound from that and come into that ready, not only to win, but be so dominant in that way? And he was talking about pregame. Pregame, he said he wanted the guys to embrace all that comes with this moment, all of the challenge and the motion and the emotions that come with it, and to be with it, like not try to avoid it or hide from it. Like, he talked about the fragility of winning, how fragile victory is, and that he told his players, like, you have to be okay with the vulnerability that comes with going for it, putting yourself out there to go for it in front of everyone, for everyone to see and judge you and be okay with what that feels like. And he wanted them to embrace all that comes with it and the discomfort that comes with the quest that they were on, and like understand that it's there and be with it and embrace it. And I was just like, whoa, you know, like, that's life advice, you know? Forget about the game advice. And talk about getting these guys, like, again, to keep coming back to the Celtics, anytime it became crunch time, you immediately saw that those guys were not, they weren't 100% sure. But you looked at the Heat, and you know, each series for the Heat was different. The Bucks series was Jimmy Butler, high-flying offense, 50-point games. The Knicks series was more of a grind series. And then this series against the Celtics was a depth series. It was about role players. It was the Caleb Martin game. It was the Duncan Robinson game. It was the Gabe Vincent game. And, like, you know, the Celtics had enough depth of defender to really kind of stymie Jimmy Butler because they had mad different looks that could go at him. It was hard for him. Mm-hmm. But they still were able to have these out-of-body experiences from, like, Caleb and Gabe. And I think that starts from the top down. That starts from the mentality down, that these guys are able to do that. It was absolutely the stuff that will give you goosebumps. And I think this is all part of what makes Coach Spoelstra, his intensity, his humanity, his ferocity. You should see this man in a huddle. And of course, his intelligence as a coach that makes him one of the greats, you know?
And I want to add to that. And there again, I'm going to give Jimmy some love as well as Bam, but I'm going to give Jimmy some love mostly about what I said earlier about regular season, allowing these guys to do so. Because, yes, they you could see the attention that Jimmy was getting from the Boston Celtics, whether it was from Grant Williams or anybody else of their defenders.
Yeah, everybody.
They had to change their look when Duncan Robinson hitting shots, Caleb Martin going crazy, Gabe Vincent getting crazy, Kyle Lowry just having his moments here and there. Like, when different guys, like you said, have a moment, they had to go from that. So it's because of the confidence and being empowered by Jimmy from the regular season and into the playoffs, where they feel like, oh man, I gotta save my man by knocking down shots. I gotta get going. I gotta make sure I'm in his window so he can see me when this double team come knock down shots. Because what it started doing, the double teams turned into stab back and get. Oh, I gotta get back to my man because he hitting shots. And that's what it did. And that what made things easier for Jimmy. Like game six, he was mad. Jimmy was mad. He couldn't hit a shot. But guess what? All of those other guys were playing well. Caleb Martin, obviously, was hitting shots. And then he was able to get free in the fourth quarter and late in the game to beat Jimmy. That's all you want as a player. I've always said this, and I always tell, like, these young stars, I'm like, get your guys going early. Get your guys, because you're going to need them late. You know, Trey and I used to argue about it all the time, particularly his rookie year. I'm like, you got to get these guys, because if these guys are hitting shots, and they're rolling, the fourth quarter is easy for you because they have a decision to make. Either they're going to keep double teaming you and you're going to get a 25 assists because these guys are hitting shots, or they're going to kind of get hesitant. And the natural reaction or reality is, as a player, I'm not about to get my head bust by this guy because coach said, oh, we got to get here, and this dude keeps hitting shots. It's just, no, I'm, you know, those stunts get a little shorter and shorter because I want to get closer to my guy. And now Jimmy Butler, who's great with the pump fake and the pass fake, it was now drive, 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 fake the pump. Ah, I got a layup because those guys are hitting shots. You know, it was just crazy. And that's all, I think, it's a tip of the hat to Jimmy Butler for the groundwork that he laid early, and those guys understood it.
Kick your feet up, you can find us on all platforms. In that form, so be the hottest on them platforms. Your family now, got you listen to what we talking about. The VC Show, let's go, it's time to turn it out. The VC Show, let's go, let's go. The VC.
What are they going to do with Jokic, Vince? What can the Heat do against Nikola Jokic?
here's the crazy thing about that, you know, and we talked about, you know, to nauseam about Jokic and AD. Whoever wins that matchup will, you know, will probably have a lot of success and win, will come out victor in that matchup. And I
What you mean?
Jokic, AD, Anthony Davis, Lakers, you know, and I look at it now as far as guarding or, you know, making Jokic guard, and it's going to be the same type of thing. I don't think Bam is the same kind of player as AD. Well, he's not, as far as offensively and even defensively. Like, he's darn good and he's super athletic, but, you know, he's giving up height and weight. So I think Miami's going to have to play fast, and you're going to have to throw bodies at them. They're going to have to scramble around because you allow Jokic to have his way. And I think they're going to have a decision to make. Either you're going to let Jokic have big nights and not allow the triple-double nights, because if he's getting triple-doubles, that means multiple guys are having good nights also while he's playing well. You can't allow him to have 30, 35-point triple-doubles. You know, that means three or four guys are having good nights as well, not just Jokic and Murray. Those guys are going to do their thing. But maybe, you know, I think we'll see maybe a try where you allow Jokic to go ahead and do his thing, long as KCP's not getting threes, because they're big on not allowing 3-point shots already, Miami Heat defense. So maybe you sit out there so you don't let Bruce Brown have a big night. You don't allow, well, more so KCP and Michael Porter Jr., not allowing those guys to kill you from the three, because if they're hitting threes, that means that paint is wide open. Yeah. Because you got to close out to those guys. So I'm interested to see what approach they take first. You wouldn't dare play Jokic straight up, I don't think, particularly when you don't have a lot of bigs. Well, no, you don't have any bigs. They don't play any bigs. I think for Bam, you're going to have to play defense, scramble, whatever, and Bam has to play fast. I think what's great for them is Bam's ability to rebound and start the offense.
Right.
That means Jokic has to get back. While he's getting back, now Bam can go into dribble handoffs. Jokic can't do both.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to have to put him in those situations, because other than that, man, if you're not getting that dude in foul trouble and off the floor, good luck.
Yeah, and when the Heat really looked a little bit, you know, out of sorts, it was when they couldn't run their offense through Bam because the paint was so crowded. You know, to your point, Bam in space is the game changer. And he does make nice decisions to either facilitate, or that's when he's going to catch you for a foul or finish or make the right play there. So, you know, what are going to be the defensive tactics, you know, the Nuggets will use to soak up space from everybody? And then I think, you know, the zone shakes up a lot of teams. One, it takes away their pace. Two, it often puts you in positions to have to make the right decision on which types of threes to hunt. And you know, three, it changes, if a team's not disciplined, it changes who they run their offense through and how they want to get to their points. And, like, I think obviously the Nuggets are really strong, you know, when Jokic is a playmaker.
And that's what I'm saying. I put him at the free throw line or somewhere in the zone and let him, obviously, you know, the weakest spot of a zone is in the middle. So I'm making sure I'm flashing Jokic from different areas. Sometimes from the top of the key, go turn, boom, I play through him. He finds guys, or he shoots the heck out of that free throw jump shot. I bring him in off the baseline or different places just to get him in the middle of the floor and start finding guys, because there again, if he gets the ball in the middle of the zone, that's Bam who's going to now have to guard him one-on-one, because you wouldn't dare. Usually against zones, particularly in the NBA, when the ball is in the middle, they typically go to man there. Well, that will be the opportunity for Jokic to have Bam one-on-one and not see the double teams, unless – you know, they choose to double team him at the middle of, in the middle of the floor, which he's a great passer. So you can't show a great player the same look often, because he's going to pick you apart. So look for the Heat to switch up their defenses frequently.
Yeah. Oh, and they've done that throughout. One thing I will say about the Nuggets, though, you know, I joined somebody's show, and I was joking earlier. It's almost like a chip off. Both of these teams are coming into the series saying, you people never believed in us. Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all counted us out. Oh, you never talk about us. Oh, we fly under the radar. Well, here both of y'all are, Nuggets. Here you are, center stage. Here you are. Heat knocked off the number one seed. The best team in the NBA was the Bucks. Heat knocked them off. Then they went through the Celtics, which was arguably two, if not the Nuggets, in my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. Now you got the Nuggets, who, by the way, do not sleep on. This is a team that has a diversity of defender. Mm-hmm. They have much more grit to them than they've had in the past. They've shown the ability to win gritty. They are better and more committed on the defensive end. They have shooters and can stretch it. They obviously have a generational talent in Jokic. And they have a closer. They have a guy with Kobe-like instinct in Jamal Murray, who really is that guy and looks and feels comfortable. I cover a lot of West Coast games. So when people were going to sleep, you know, after the first East Coast game, that's usually the game I was on. I had a lot of Nuggets this season. Nothing about them running through, you know, the playoffs and sweeping the Lakers, none of that surprised me. I was like, that would have been your fatal mistake if you were, you know, having an emotional letdown after defeating the Warriors, and maybe you thought you were going to waltz through the Nuggets. That was your mistake. The Nuggets have been that. And they haven't been that, but they are that this season. And it took getting healthy and improving after years, and also brilliant play of Jokic, and also the way Michael Malone has put his players in good position. So I think that this is a very tough challenge, a very complete Nuggets team that's very good. My main concern for them is they've been resting for like a week and change, and I just literally left the Heat. Like, yeah, they got fatigue, but they also are like foaming at the mouth dogs. Like, they're dogs right now. Like, I wouldn't even want the Heat to have a week off. Like, I'm afraid if they took a month off, like, is Caleb Martin still going to be all first all
on
team?
Fire, right, facts.
Is would the carriage turn into a pumpkin? Would the glass slipper fall off and all this be over? Because what I'm seeing right here, they should never stop. They should go right straight into finals. They're exactly where they need to be. I'm worried. I hope that the time off doesn't affect the intensity of the Nuggets.
But this is their first opportunity, Ross. Like, I just can't imagine Denver letting this opportunity slip away. Particularly,
so who do you have winning? Who do you have winning?
I got Denver right now. I
did. You got Denver. And how many?
Hey, wait. Let me give it. Shout out to Aaron Gordon,
Aaron Gordon.
You know, real quick, because this guy, man, he bring him in and he made an adjustment. Being the man in Orlando, coming there, falling in line, and being a huge, huge factor to their team. You know, defensively taking the toughest defender. I thought he, you know, what he did in the closeout game versus the Lakers. Yes, LeBron went crazy. He went crazy in the first half, but he made LeBron work for what he got to wear him down. And I thought Aaron has made the sacrifice for the good of that team. He's taken the challenge defensively guarding. I'm talking about guys smaller than him, guys bigger than him, fast, whatever, and done a great job and has made it easier for everyone else. Jamal just go out there and ball. Michael Porter just go out there and be a shooter and score and not have to, you know, garner that challenge. I got it. And still play well. You know, yeah, his offense is going to take a hit a little bit because you're guarding some great offensive players, but it's okay. And he, you know, game four was great for him. You know, not only did he play well defensively, he played well offensively. Now, Denver that's tough. That's tough because you can't count out the Heat. And I'm not counting them out for sure. I think it's going to get to six.
You think it'll get me six? So Denver and six. I feel you in that too.
I can't see five. I see six.
Something, you know, at this point, with as much as I've covered the Heat in this postseason, I should know better than to bet against them. And after seeing the way they beat down, the toughness, that, you know, this series was about toughness too. They tough. I wouldn't put it past them to make this a great series, but I truly do believe that the Nuggets are having a special year, and that Jokic in his own way has something he wants to achieve. And
wait a second, he wants to prove also, like, he wants to prove, that should have been mine, that third one. Yeah.
You know, he won't admit that, but he got the instinct in him. He got the instinct in him. All right, so real quick, so who will win Finals MVP before we go?
We just talked about him. Jokic.
Oh, Jokic. and Jamal Murray also coming through with something.
I was just about to say, and maybe it could be where maybe we're looking at like, ooh, Jamal Murray, but Jokic. I just feel like I think Jamal's going to have his special games, but we're going to look at Jokic like, bro, another triple-double like this. Like that's, and it's one of those things where if Jokic wasn't on the court, Jamal would be it. But, like, he's just doing a little better. It's like Anthony Davis had the great game one at 42 points, but Jokic had a 35-point triple-double. Like, he's playing at that level. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, then I think, you know, these are all pretty safe bets. We didn't say nothing controversial. Maybe I should go out on a limb and say, you know, look, Gabe Vincent, man. I don't know. Like, you don't even know what the Heat. It could be the Duncan Robinson series. Like, the fate of the finals rests on the back of Caleb Martin.
But and Gabe Vincent. I think Gabe Vincent's going to have
Vincent,
a huge. He's
going to have. Fellow Nigerians.
He's going to have a huge role in this because I think if he plays well offensively, he's making Jamal Murray have to guard, hopefully, if you would, wearing him down. So we shall see.
I'm walking with you because I got to go. I got a car outside. I got flights to catch.
Well, there you go, party people. Roz got to go. She got things to do. We appreciate you guys as always. Hey, check Roz out doing her thing at the finals. And, we'll check back in with you guys talking about what we've seen so far in the finals. All right? Y'all be good. The VC show. Let's go.
Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.